If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. How often we've heard that beautiful verse of the psalm, and it does kind of just cut us to the heart to say, yeah, how is my heart? Is my heart hardened? And that's a good reflection for us to have. Are we open? Are we docile to the working of the Holy Spirit? But today, I'd like to focus more on that first part that maybe we just kind of gloss over, that if today you hear his voice. Do you ever stop to think how amazing it is that we actually believe we can hear God's voice? God ultimately is not for us some distant power on a mountain, thunder and lightning, or you know, some distant power at the origin of the universe that created everything and then just kind of disappeared. This is the great move of the Judeo-Christian understanding and revelation of God, that we have a God who does in fact communicate to us. To say, if today you hear his voice, implies that it is in fact possible that we will hear God's voice, that in fact God does wish to communicate with us. That's very different from a lot of world religions and in history, and even right now, the idea that God is actively involved in the day-to-day living out of this world. You know, some people will have an image of God that traditionally has been called the clockmaker God. Now, we have digital clocks today, so it's a little harder to envision. But picture an old clock with lots of gears and cogs and wheels that takes a lot of engineering to design. People would say, well, the world's like that. The world takes a lot of design. Great. But God is ultimately like that great clockmaker God who designed it all and then just kind of wound up the clock and then let it go. And it just unwinds over history. That's an image of God that says God designed it. He's there at the beginning, and then he just disappears and kind of sits back and watches it all just play out. That's not the Christian God. That's not the Jewish God, as we see in the Psalms. Rather, we believe in a God that is imminent in our world, that we can talk to, that he wants to talk to us, and that we can have a relationship with him. What an amazing thought that is. Stop and think sometimes, it didn't have to be that way. There could have been a clockmaker God who, as we messed everything all up, just kind of sat back and said, well, they messed it up. Too bad for the world. But God doesn't do that. Rather, especially in Christianity, we know that God very much is imminent to the world. He desired to mix it up in this world so much that he became one of us, that the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man so that he could intervene in this world, especially when it was messed up and broken. God didn't say, well, too bad. He said, no, I'm going to go down there. I need to get in there and help. What an amazing image of God that is. So maybe our psalm today, the first thing it should cause us to question is, what is our image of God? Do we have an image of a God who is just kind of out there and a distant power, uninvolved, uninterested in our lives? Or do we recognize that God speaks, and in fact, we should be listening because we expect God to be involved in our life? What is your image of God? Secondly, though, knowing that God is imminent in our world, that he wants to speak to us, it also, I think, gives us a different view, not just of God, but a different view of the world, a different view of what is this world all about and where is it headed? St. Paul tells us in our second reading today that because Christ has been raised, you too have been raised and share in his resurrection, and therefore seek the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. That's a uniquely Christian view. Sometimes we don't realize how much our Christian faith influences everything around us in the world. We believe in a life beyond this world. And that's why St. Paul is able to tell us, you want freedom? You want to live true joy? Well, seek the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. Why can we do this? Because we know that this world is not all there is. Now, you might think that that means that we would look at this world and Christians would be bad for the world because we would be constantly living for some other world and just forget this world. Who cares about life on earth? Doesn't matter. We'll live for some other world. Just the opposite. Rather, Christians are like leaven in the world that lifts everything up in this very important and subtle way. We live in this world, using the good things of this world, enjoying everything in this world, but not having to grasp onto it as if this is all there is. Rather, we can hear St. Paul say, seek what's above, good. What does the rest of the world have to do? If you don't believe that there is life after death, that there is a world where everything is made right and just, if this world is all there is, then you've got to do what this person in our gospel did. Do you have a lot? Do you have more that can fit in your barns? Well, then you've got to tear them down and build bigger barns. Because if this world is all there is, then you've got to maximize how much stuff you can get. You've got to maximize your power, your influence, your possessions, because this world is all there is. And so you've got to get the most of it. That's the world we're left with. That's the image of the world if there is no resurrection, if Christ has not been raised, if there is no life after death. Then this world is all there is, and by God, that's the thing you've got to get. Well, think about what happens to the world if that's the way we all live. Now, if somebody wrongs me, if I sense injustice in the world, and Lord knows we can find a lot of that today, if there is no heaven, if there is no God to look forward to that can set things right, then we have got to make it right. Right now. So if I've been wronged, there's no forgiveness. There's no mercy. Rather, there's only revenge. There's got to be justice and retribution, and I've got to do it right now. Because that sense of justice in us that wants things to be right, if there is no heaven, I'm the one who arbitrates justice. And I've got to get back even tenfold for someone who wrongs me. Somebody takes something from me, I've got to get it back and more. Because this world is all there is. Look at the way the world would be if everyone lived that way. Constant war, fighting, selfishness becomes the greatest virtue to maximize my own pleasure. Now consider the leaven of Christianity in the world. Here you have whole groups of people who realize that this world is not it. As good as the things in this world are, our sights are set on the things above. Not that we ignore the things on earth, but now if somebody wrongs me, if I'm hurt, now because I look for the day when all is made right, I don't have to get even now. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his mercy for the world allows me to be merciful. There doesn't have to be constant fighting. I don't have to get even. I can say, like the scripture tells us, someone takes your cloak, give them your tunic as well. Someone presses you for a mile, yeah, go the extra mile. You can give and give and give and not feel like you're losing out or have less. You know that you've got more, actually, because you're storing up treasure in heaven. The result is that because of Christianity, because we don't have to get all of our justice in this world, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can have peace. Christianity itself, the message of Jesus raised from the dead, brings world peace. You want world peace? Everyone always prays for it. Set your heart on things that are above, not on things that are below. We as Christians are free to be peacemakers. Now, because we can have this detachment, we have two options. We can be like Koheleth in our first reading and say, well, this is all a mess. It's all vanity, by which he means it's all in vain. Why work for anything? I work and I work and I work and then I die and somebody else gets it. What's the point? Well, that's too detached. That would cause people to say, let's just give up. This world is pointless. I work and I don't get any benefit from it. Well, that's not the truth either. Rather, we live in this world as if it's not the only world, but it is good. And so today we might ask ourselves, what is it that you are attached to in this world? Where are you tempted to say, I don't have enough? It's not enough. I gotta have more of this or that, whether it's money, pleasure, power. Do you look at your neighbors constantly and say, man, they've got more. I need more. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. And the reason I'm not happy is because I don't have enough of X. Fill it in. All right. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Maybe God's voice today is asking you to say, I need to be more detached. Because the truth is, whatever you're hanging on to in this life that you're putting in the place of God, vanity of vanities, all vanity. It's all worthless in the end. But if you live in this world to use the good things of this world with your heart set on heaven, to use your power to lift up the lowly and the marginalized, to use your wealth, your influence to help those who most need it, now you're fulfilling what we pray in the Our Father. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ultimately, our goal then is to live in this life to make it more like the life to which we desire. Work for justice in this world. Amen. Absolutely. Knowing that there's a place where everything is made just, and we won't ever get it here perfectly. What is God saying to you? Maybe let that be your prayer this week. Where do I need to let go of the things of this earth? Where am I too focused looking down? How can my life be different because I look to the things above? And if you do that, and you do that, and we all do that, imagine what a world we could live in. If today you hear his voice, well, you need to pray then. Be quiet. Stop. Listen. You just might hear his voice.